Hello, and welcome to Stardust Records, a Star Wars podcast. I'm Savi, and I'm here with my co-host, Linz. And we're back after a bit of a hiatus. We both had a lot going on, more so Lindsay. But before we kind of get into the episode, this very, 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 very important, meaningful episode, I just want to call out that Lindsay was a basketball coach for her high school, her local high school.
Yes.
And 19 games undefeated. Let's talk about
yes.
that.
Yes.
I've been bragging to my coworkers about that.
Really?
I have.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I can't, obviously, I'll take some credit, but my team, the junior high team, sixth grade through eighth grade, and they're incredible. I love them so much. They've blown my mind. The seventh graders particularly are really strong, like the core of my team. And, you know, just kind of to put it in perspective, last season, those girls, you know, they got some time playing. I tried to give them a bunch of playing time, but, you know, they didn't play a lot. And this season, you know, you go from a player who maybe made like, you know, one basket last season and made like 70 or like over 70 this season. So yeah, they're incredible. And but as Savi said, that took a lot of my time. It was very long days. I don't just coach. I'm a para pro, and then I would go straight to practice for a couple hours, and then oftentimes I go to the high school and be an official for basketball games there as well. So it was like three different things in a day, and any of my downtime was spent kind of like just decompressing and sleeping. So, but yeah, it was awesome and it was great, but I'm so glad to be back doing this. I've missed this so much. Yeah. And what about you, Savi? What have you been up to?
Well, I can't sit still. So I got a second job just for fun. It's not like a dream of mine or anything, but one day I would eventually really like to like maybe have a career in coffee. Like I've been thinking about it more and more, and I've been talking about it with somebody else, and like it would be cool to, I don't know, have a business. So I don't know, I like being my own boss. So it's like one of those things, but I think a lot of people like being their own boss. But I started working at a roastery, and I worked for this family before, so it's good to be back with them after their business has honestly exploded. We did an order that, like, I worked 9 hours on Saturday, and it was crazy. We had to fill. What's really cool is that even though they've exploded, everything is still done by a human being. Like, we have to individually weigh each and every single bag that goes to the grocery store, and it's just really, really fun. I come home, and I cannot get the smell of coffee out of me. Like, I know that that's not a bad thing because coffee smells really good, but like, it's everywhere. Like, the smell of coffee is everywhere, and I can literally smell it on my hands right now after like showering. But I'm sure when you come, you'll smell it in the house. But yeah, every time I come home, my husband's like, "Oh, you gotta get in the shower. You smell just like a coffee bean." So, but I'm still teaching. We're both teachers on this podcast. So it's funny because sometimes when you like say stuff about your seventh grade students, I'm like, wow, that actually kind of sounds like my college student. Yeah. So you've been busy, but I'm really proud of you for sticking through it. You did it. You did it.
Yay, thank
I remember
you.
I remember you texted me being like, I only have this amount of days left.
I know. It's
we
one of those
did it.
things where it's like you love it, but you're when it's like you're in the finish line, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're like, I just need to survive just a couple more days. I had a couple occasions to talk to some kiddos, you know, while I was busy about Star Wars, and I even told a couple of them about our podcast. And one of them in particular, I just mentioned it to her, and next time I saw her, she's like, "I listened to your latest episode, your last one that you
Aww.
did, and I thought it was really cool." And I was like, "Oh."
That's awesome.
So we're reaching the youth.
Yeah. And then I said it earlier, but you're coming. Is it next week? I have no concept of time.
It's
It's like the
the
week
week
after
after
next week.
next. week, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's Emerald City Comic Con, and Lindsay and I do that every year together. So I'm really excited about that because it's Emerald City Comic Con. Kelly Knox is going, so that'd be cool to see her. Do we know
I
anybody
know
else?
I'm in terms of like community wise, I think there's a couple people we know that are gonna go as like a like someone presenting at the show in any way. I know, well, in Star Wars, the Star Wars, sphere, John Boyega is gonna be there, which
Yeah,
is really cool.
that is cool. Yeah, and then we'll just be walking around and having a good time like we always do at Emerald City. So,
Buying lots of things, lots of Artist Alley
I
purchases.
know. Well, over the break of Stardust Records, Lindsay and I got very into Arcane and not like the norm, like, oh yeah, I like Arcane, like the really unhealthy. Please don't ask me about this because we're going to be talking about it for the next 6.5 hours. The type
Wait,
of
wait, wait, wait.
unhealthy where I considered texting you and being like, we should start an Arcane podcast.
Honestly, it'd be so I'd be so down. Like, I'm always down. But we have to put a little disclaimer because we say Arcane, and yes, we are fans of Arcane, but it's a particular flavor
Of
of
Arcane.
Arcane that we have been very interested in, and so it's kind of consumed our every thoughts. And
It's
yeah, we're
Jaybird.
gonna it yes, it's
It's
JVIC. We're
Jaybird.
gonna definitely be buying everything JVIC at ECCC, and yeah, so it's gonna be
Yeah,
great.
I know. Well, I know like Jaybird was kind of popular. I mean, this isn't a Jaybird podcast, but we'll talk about it. It's been a while. But it had like 6,000 fan fictions on AO3, like way less than
Not
that.
even,
Yeah,
not,
like
it was
way
like,
less than that.
2000, it was like 2000 something.
Yeah, it didn't,
And
and
it
it
gained,
just surpassed like 12,000, I
yeah,
think.
it gained like 10,000 fanfics in like however many months it's been since, I think, November.
Remember. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was crazy. That was crazy. It's been a good company since, I guess, well, now we'll lead into it, but it's been good company since we haven't had any Star Wars Skeleton Crew ended. But Andor season 2 is getting really close. The trailer, as of the time of this recording, was dropped today, and it's so good. It's like better than I could have ever even imagined. And I said that on my socials, but the best part about it is that I wasn't at all expecting the song in it. So I guess we'll just start off with that, but go ahead.
Yes. Well, yeah, I was gonna say I it was the actually the la I mean, it was the first thing that struck me when I started watching the trailer,
Yeah.
but I didn't look into the song itself until after like the hype died, or not the hype died down, but like after the initial rush of watching the trailer kind of died down for me. And I was also at work,
Adrenaline.
so I was
Yeah.
also at work at the time, so like I couldn't really fully immerse myself into what had actually occurred.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's what when did this song come out? It was like the was it 2004, I think.
Yeah,
It's
it's
called
go ahead.
The Revolution Starts by Steve Earle. He's like a country singer from Texas, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And go
Not
ahead.
any disrespect to Steve Earle, but at the beginning, it sounds almost identical to Stellan Skarsgård's Luthen's voice. So I was like, that's weird. They got Stellan to sing it. But then I was like, no. But go ahead. There's like a lore behind this song, right? I think that's where you're going with this, but.
Yeah, I think I heard or saw that it's like a it was an anti-Iraq war song, or that was like the gist behind it.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull that up. But yeah, it is definitely a revolution song, a protest song, which I thought was awesome that they, went that way for it.
Yeah, I really love the The music choice, I also have always thought season two would be a little bit more uplifting than season one and Rogue One. It's kind of in the sandwich, like it's the middle of the sandwich for these. Like Rogue One, we know has a little bit more, I don't want to say downbeat, but it's not like it has almost like a bittersweet hue to it, essentially, with like the rebellions are built on hope and the ending where everybody dies and explodes, rip. And then the first season, the title card was like black and red and just like very not dull, but like dark in not in like the lighting term, but like dark in like what we're to expect. But season two is very colorful. Like even just looking through the trailer, it's super bright. Even the title card with like the sunlight coming in. So using this song that has like a little bit more of an upbeat overtone is a really interesting choice that I really enjoyed because I felt like it's trying to get us hyped for a revolution. Like it's like there's gonna be violent protest and you know, Cassian, like this is the beginning of Cassian's rebel story. Like this isn't the beginning of his like story from Ferrix and Canary. This is a whole different Cassian, I think, that we're going to see.
Yeah, he's evolving. We're gonna see Cassian evolve, you know, to his final form,
Yeah, well,
the Cassian from Rogue One. And I to kind of build off of your sort of analogy or just kind of observation about how the first season was darker in a sense. I mean, we were coming into we dr were dropped into that era where the empire is reigning supreme. You know, we get to see just how oppressive it is and how harmful it is and how, yeah, in that season. And so then shifting into season two, especially because we're going to be jumping years, right? We're going to get snapshots of the years leading up to Rogue One. Yeah, just like you said, it definitely is fitting to have it be more upbeat, sort of like, you know, we're ramping up. Just like how the song is just kind of like ramping you up to towards that moment where they steal the plans from the Empire and Luke Skywalker pulls the trigger and blows up the Death Star. You know, it's like that, it's this building the momentum. Like the momentum is building for real now.
Yeah.
And I, just like you said, I think that was a really awesome choice.
Yeah, and I thought that this was really interesting, and maybe I'm looking a little bit too much into it, but Cassian on the poster is overlaid amongst the Death Star, and the Death Star is being built, and so is Cassian. So I feel like it's a very interesting parallel to each other. I know a lot of people have been using the word like parallel very loosely, but it is really interesting to that both will be built, quote unquote, at the same time, and then ultimately Cassian ends up helping destroy the Death Star. So it's just like, I don't know if he'll ever find out that he was helping build the parts to it. Like, it's a very interesting concept to think about. I don't know.
Yeah, I part of me kind of wants that revelation to occur. Like, I helped create this, I had a hand in this, and even though it's not his fault, sort of, you know, spur him. And I mean, like, if Melshi's included in that, you know, Melshi and Cassian learn the truth, then like, how much more impactful would that be, you know, to call back to their time on Was it Narkina 5? And then also, you know, just to your point about the poster, it kind of is an homage, a subtle homage to the posters for Rogue One, where, and I think this was pretty much every character, like when they did all the character posters, it kind of had the plans for the Death Star dart overlaid on their faces. And so this is kind of an homage to those famous posters, I guess you could say. So smart of them. I love that.
So we've done this before in the past where we usually Lynn and I are watching the trailer together and we kind of talk about it as the episode that we're recording goes on. So, we talked about the song and the lighting and the poster. At the beginning, it's a lot of shots of Cassian from behind, but then they also sneak in. You see Cinta for a moment, and then who people are saying is Bix, which her whole walk is different from even just season one. But we'll talk about Bix later. But I really love Cassian's outfits from what we can see of them.
Yes.
Like that coat in that very first.
Oh yeah, the
That
tan
big,
coat.
no, the big blue,
Oh,
like,
the swaying cloak kind of
yeah.
coat. Yeah.
I have a feeling wherever he is, like, from what I can see, it's really bright out, and I hope that has something to do with Mon Mothma. I don't know. He's carrying a bag. Also, the shot with Cinta is in a really familiar looking place. So this is what I'm assuming. This is at the 4 second mark. You can see this device or like vehicle later in the trailer, and it's mining. It's like
Yeah.
undoing the bricks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I shouldn't say it. You should go.
Well, okay, so my first thought was that it was Ferrix. Because we don't see Cinta and Vel leave Ferrix. So I don't know, but I mean, the only thing that I'm looking at it right now, it's at the fort. If you guys are looking too, the people who are listening, like the only thing that Ferrix didn't have was there were these archways and these doors, and it doesn't, like, it looks like it could be Ferrix, but it looks like it could
I
be a
think
completely different planet.
that it's a good guess, or a planet that's of a similar status in terms of economics and so, society. But I do feel like Ferrix is a really good guess, especially because of the point that you made that, Cinta and Vel were on Ferrix when we last saw them, and they seemed like they were gonna stay, or at least Cinta seemed like she was gonna stay. And I didn't even put together that that machine is the same machine that was like ripping up the
The bricks.
street,
Yeah.
but it's a very classic tactic of oppressive regimes to do that to a community, to disrupt the community. So if that's what we think it is, Tony Gilroy, whoever wrote that detail in,
Crazy.
incredible. And I think that if it is what we think it is, people are gonna be talking about that a lot once it comes out. When those scenes come out, it's gonna be talked about quite a bit. And we can't really talk about Andor without making allusions to real life. So I feel like we're gonna be talking about how applicable certain situations are in Andor to real life in some respects. So just be ready for us to break it down a little bit that way too. But yeah, no, I thank you for bringing that up because I didn't realize it was the same thing and that was what was happening. But I think I'm excited to see the conversation around that.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be really interesting to go back to Ferrix, but I also think it'll be really interesting to see what Vel and Cinta are doing in like a different part of the galaxy, I guess. But moving on to a different shot with Bix, I kind of just love this whole like walk in like you belong montage, because she's
Yeah.
literally just walking in with her hood up, like no disguise, blaster drawn, and she just shoots and kills an Imperial officer, like no fear, full hearts, can't lose. I really love that for her. I have a feeling she's gonna be a pretty bad booty character. Not that she wasn't last season, but this season I feel like it's really gonna be her time. Like Bix being an active part of the rebellion is actually so much better than anything I could have ever imagined for her character. I wanted that so badly, but like seeing it coming to fruition is actually like one of the most rewarding things ever. And I'm not
Yeah.
even in the show. Like, it's just as a fan, like knowing that one of your favorite characters is gonna get like a badass arc. I don't know. I love Bix, so I'm happy for her.
I'm just so glad like she's getting utilized, you know. She wasn't just like the female character who used to be the old flame, who's like, you know, was there to kind of just, I mean, yeah, she is part of Cassian's story, but like that's not where it ends. Like she's not just part of Cassian's story, she's part of the rebellion story.
Exactly. Thank you. It's like Bix is not an accessory to Cassian. Cassian is not an accessory to Bix. Like Bix is part of a greater story. And they've said in so many interviews that naming this series Andor is a disservice to the show because it's not just a story about Cassian. It's a story about the people banding together to make the greater rebellion that we know in the original trilogy. And it's like, Bix is a part of that as much as Brasso is a part of that, as much as background rebels will be a part of it. Even these, like, rebels in the back of the shot of Cassian walking on Yavin 4, like, all of these people have purpose. Look at us.
Yeah, I have to say that getting that, I mean, we got that shot in one of the sneak previews or like for the Disney Plus shows a couple months ago, but just seeing it again, it makes me really emotional seeing the shot of him walking across the tarmac on Yavin 4 and the pilots and the path, like it looks like pathfinders or yeah, pathfinders behind him, you know, with their weapons and you know the X-wings in the air, and it's just it makes me so happy, but like it's also bittersweet. It's just this all these emotions. Ugh.
Yeah, I seeing Yavin 4 on screen again, and he hasn't been spoken about a lot because a lot of people don't know his work. And granted, like I didn't either. I had to do research when the WGA like dropped who was officially going to be writing the show. But Tom Bissell wrote what people online have been calling the best Uncharted games. He wrote Batman, Arkham Asylum, one of them. So it's fascinating that he's coming from the video game scene and bringing it into the television scene. I think it'll be a really fascinating, not transition, because I'm sure it'll be like very similar in terms of writing style, but I kind of like that, like Yavin 4's rebellion arc being kind of grimy and I don't know, video gamey. Like I feel like it'll be more interactive in a way. Not in a video game way, like Bandersnatch with Netflix, but like in a way where we kind of feel like we're in the show, I guess.
Yeah, and I know Uncharted, and I've played Arkham Asylum, and I've watched gameplay for Uncharted, and I'm a little bit familiar with just sort of like the character beats. And the story building in those games is really, really great. And so it does make me really excited to hear that someone of the caliber has come over to television.
Yeah, and it looks very similar to Rogue One's set design, so I wonder if they went back. But were you gonna say something?
I was going to say the next shot, the very next shot is Cassian talking to somebody, and what does he say again? It's
I have some time. You want to fight or you want to win?
okay. So, who do you think that is?
Okay, I want so badly for it to be Cyril.
Yes.
It just looks like his head to me, like that, like Kasula, that's your head. You're not beating. You're Cyril. You're
Okay,
not. You're
so this is
not
what we have to
beating.
do.
You're not beating the allegations. You're going to defect. You have to for the girls. You
Yes. And this is what we need to do. You know how that one person overlaid the back of Lars Mikkelsen's, like the back of his head to the back of Thrawn's head in the Ahsoka trailer to like confirm that it's him playing Thrawn? We need to do that to this, whoever this is in this shot, with the back of Kyle Soller's head.
Yeah, I
Gotta
know.
match up the back of their heads. The ears have to match.
Somebody get them on the phone. Stat! But also, The next shot after that is Willman running in the field. His little curly hair.
Okay.
And a lot of people are guessing that this is Lethal. And no, yeah.
No.
Lindsay's shaking her head. It says at the end of season one that they're going to Gonji Moon. This
Yeah.
has to be Gonji Moon. It has to be Gonji Moon. It's Willman, Brasa,
Agreed.
there's Biggs. The only thing is that where's Jesse? Jesse.
I bet Jesse is just in the house.
They all live together.
Well, isn't B2 supposed to be with them too? Like,
He is.
I bet they're all like close together. You know, it looks like there's multiple buildings on this farm area potentially. So, but yeah, we've got Willman running, we've got Cassian and a TIE fighter shooting a transport in the field. I'm assuming these all look like they're obviously in the same sequence of scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we get interrupted by another shot of something completely different.
They all connect back to each other.
Yeah, both
Like
shots.
part of me thinks that the Gonji Moon, if that is it, like the shots with the stormtroopers and the house, and then it looks almost like yurts in the background. Like I have a feeling that that's probably the first arc, but I mean, you never know with these kinds of things, but that would be like a really great lead in from season one, where it's like Cassian says goodbye, kill me or take me in. Or another cool concept would be we get one whole arc with Cassian, years later, what has he been doing for Luthen? And then eventually, like, he goes and he finds, because it looks like he's fighting the TIE, or he's flying the TIE Interceptor. And then he goes to Gonji Moon, because there's the shot of it, like over the wheat field. It's like one
Yeah.
of the very next ones, but maybe
Yeah.
I'm corn plating too much, but
No, I think it's connected, you know.
because
We might, we might, yeah.
he's in the jumpsuit.
Yeah, well, the jumpsuit, if you're referring to the jumpsuit from before, when he's talking to that person, maybe Cyril, I've been trying to compare them, and it's hard for me to tell if they're the same jumpsuit.
It almost looks like he removed the gear, like the black belts,
Yeah.
and then he like opened it.
Yeah.
But we might
Then
be.
it's hard to tell where exactly it would fall in. But we also don't know if these arcs, I mean, yes, they're 1 year. They're supposed to be like 1 year or like something that's happening each year. But maybe some of these episodes sort of have multiple different focuses, I guess. So he could be on like one mission in one part of one episode and then go completely somewhere else. So it's like not one location for every episode. It's like multiple things are happening. And I'm assuming we're gonna be like cutting in and out with Mon. Obviously, we're gonna be checking with Saw. So there's gonna be multiple different perspectives. So it's hard to tell where it would fall, but I do feel like it's gonna be the first or second arc that the Gonji Moon thing is going to happen. And we don't know how far or how long it's been since the end of season one to the beginning of season two. And my meaning is that it could have been multiple months. You know,
Yeah.
it could have been like 10 months. So of course Cassian's going to have more skill and be more integrated into whatever Luthen has him doing. So that could be that.
Yeah. Integrating. And I can't stop thinking of Severance. But that also, the shot of the close up of on the TIE interceptor, if that's what it is, it's like shooting almost what looks like a transport. So I don't know, it looks very similar to the transport that Jin was in on Wobani, like similar aspect with the really big wheels
Oh,
going
yeah.
fields. It's making a path. But and then okay, at the 22nd mark, that's like almost a carbon copy of Saw on Jeddah. That's like,
Yeah, like Rogue One, Saw Gerrera.
yeah, we He has, so that means we're gonna find out like how he got there, how he
Oh,
became
yeah.
that way. I just know that whatever he's gonna do, I'm gonna support him through it all.
Yeah. And that's the biggest, and I won't go too far into this, but like that's one of the biggest things that I'm excited to see, because I don't know that we know exactly how the rebellion got put onto Galen Erso and then Jin. Like they must have had, like, I'm feeling like they're gonna be, oh, Mon might discover that Krennic is involved with a big project, and then she wants to know, and then they're trying to figure out, and they discover there's this something's going on. Because I don't, they knew about the Death Star, or they just knew it was a big weapon. Can't remember, but how does that trickle down into we need to find Galen Erso? Who would know anything about Galen Erso? Oh, he had a daughter. Let's find Jin. Like, I'm excited to see how that trickles down. And then they're like, oh, we have to talk to Saw, and oh, we can't talk to Saw without Jin. So I'm those dots. I can't wait to see the dots connected.
Those dots, when will they be connected? But I'm ready for all the Jin and Cassian parallels. Like, please just bring them to me. But not to get too much into Rebel Captain Pilling. The shot of Mon Mothma in her folklore dress. Do we think this is the wedding? She looks too
Yeah.
happy. She looks too happy for me for this to be the wedding.
I don't know. The shot where the shot after like she throws her arms up, and then there's the zoom out shot of the whole room dancing. If you zoom in on that shot, you can see Mon in the crowd, and the person right next to her looks like Lita. Like she looks like her daughter. So if it's not her wedding, I think it's on Chandrila, or it's a Chandrilan party of some sort.
I can't wait for that. She was definitely having her dog days are over moment.
Well, like, and there's flowers hanging from the ceiling. Like, big bouquets of flowers are hanging from the ceiling.
I need Mon as my wedding planner. She's like, I'm free. Sorry.
She's so beautiful.
I know. She's probably having like so much more fun at this wedding than she ever would have had at her lame husband, Perrin, and hers wedding. She was probably like also
Yeah.
a kid at her own wedding, and it was
Yeah, they were
arranged.
young.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, Mon Mothma. The world that you deserve. But moving a little farther along, the shot of Cassian and Bix walking away from the explosion, like not even flinching, like their tension may have just caused that explosion. I didn't see
Yeah.
a remote or anything, even though there was definitely a remote in Cassian's hand. But yeah, I think that their tension. I feel like they're gonna go a little bit of the romantic route, especially because of what we saw in like the Star Wars Celebration teaser, but I'm kind of loving this like childhood best friends team up.
Yeah.
They're my ketchup and mustard.
I love that.
They go well together, but they are also good separately. They stand well on their
Yes.
own, but there are some people who like ketchup and mustard together. So it's only because Bix wears yellow and he wears red. But yeah, I'm so excited to see the two of them together. Especially her. But this looks like a croissant to me.
Yeah, I think it is.
And then at the
Absolutely.
36-second mark, who is it?
Ben Mendelsohn, director Krennic. Oh my gosh. So yeah, like there's two shots of him in quick succession, but they're totally different places. So we've got Krennic looking all smug, as he is, often doing out these windows. We don't know where that's at. And then the next one is out a very classically shaped window, looking at the Death Star being built. And I think there's a voiceover of him saying like something about this being a good party or something, or like now this is a party or whatever, which I think actually is from him, from a shot later on where he's at a party. And I'm pretty sure Mon is at the same one. So I think that voiceover is from that scene and not the, either of these scenes, obviously.
Yeah. Also that
But
nasty laugh that he does.
well, and okay, here's another thing that I thought of when I saw the shot of him with the Death Star. We're going to be seeing the Death Star more often. Obviously, it seems, they're just showing it. And the first season, it was kind of like a, wink, wink, nod, nod at the end of the season, like, oh, the Death Star. But I had a thought that, now that Krennic is a character in the show and the Death Star is being shown, it would be interesting if, every arc we kind of checked in with the Death Star in a sense, and we got to see how much closer it was to being completed. So it's
Yeah.
like a like a timer counting
Yeah.
down,
Yeah, that's
you
a
know?
it's really cool. It's almost there's something like that where there's like a show or movie, and I'm notorious for forgetting which show or movie, but oh, 24, 24. You have it's like the 24-hour clock and it has the timer, but that one was more explicit, but this one would be a lot cooler where it's like every arc that we see, we get an update on how much the
Yeah.
star is being built.
And in the last arc, it's like, oh, it's ready to be tested.
Ah, don't test it on anywhere important, please. No one
Oh,
with
we need.
Bix or Brasso, or just keep them out away from her. She's a diva, but just keep her diva-isms away from Bix and Brasso and Willman and Clea and Val. Everyone is on the chopping block, except
Really?
Melshi, Krennic, and Cassian.
Literally, the only one who's getting
Oh.
out alive is Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. Literally
she's the only
everyone.
one with plot armor.
I
Like,
know.
even Draven is supposed to come back or supposed to be in the show, and he's dying, not long after Rogue
In the
One,
yeah.
the events of Rogue One. So, like.
In the comics. Yeah, in the comics. He's such a bitter hater. It's kind of inspirational that he died hating, but that's very Kendrick Lamar of him. But okay, the next shot is very interesting and oomphy. I think that's how you say it. OOMFIE, oomphy. Kay, one of our closest friends, pointed this out, and I thought that this was a really cool comment. I don't know if you saw it. I'm trying to pull it up. But there's a dead soldier like in the entrance of what appears to be Yavin's 4 like outdoor hangar, and they said basically just to summarize it because I can't find it right now because we all were tweeting like the world was ending today, but they basically said that is this the moment where Saw Gerrera takes those specific X-wings back to Jedha with him? Something along those lines. And then you had also something to add on.
Oh yeah, and I think that could be really tr that could be so true. And I almost wonder if this dead body is like potentially a spy that Saw didn't trust, or you know what I mean, like someone who he thinks has betrayed
Yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Because we love Saw here, and there's no but. I'm not saying but. Saw does take care of business, and he's not very trusting. And if someone has betrayed him or is not, down with the cause, he will cull them. He'll get rid of them. So I'm almost wondering if it's like, oh, we've been made. They get rid of this person and now they're leaving this base because they can't be there anymore. And I don't actually know if I believe that this is Yavin 4. Someone made the comment that this could be Dakar. I think it's the car. Is that? I think that's what it's called. It's the base that we see at the end of The Force Awakens. It's the base that the rebels are on, and the background, like the It looks very much like it. I'll send it to you so you can see as well. Someone else made the comment that like they didn't think that that base was actually founded at that point. But I mean, it could have been an outpost for Saw Gerrera before it became a rebellion outpost. So I don't know. I don't know. Could
Yeah,
be
I think
either one.
it could be. I think everybody's theories are very valid, especially because like everything that everybody guessed back when season one was still hadn't come out, we were all a little wrong, but especially with like the Aldani arc. And what I really loved about this specific trailer is that it just felt different. And I'm like a lot of the Disney Plus show, the Star Wars trailers like have John Williams music or whoever's scoring the show, like their music. But this one having a song pulled, for lack of a better description, like Our World, like not for the show. It's almost rebellious in a way. Like the trailer itself is rebellious. It's like showing that the show isn't going to, like, it doesn't, like, Tony Gilroy is a rebel himself. Like, he doesn't stick to any specific, I guess, standard. I really admire him because he's just the type of guy that I feel like has been in this business long enough where he is like, well, not I'm gonna do what I want in the rude way, but he has a story that he wants to tell. And I think that this trailer, I was thinking about it today while I was working. I was like, it feels like a story already. It's not showing me so much where I feel like I just saw the whole thing. It's showing me just enough where I feel satisfied in waiting and knowing what's coming, but also like really anticipating to know more, if that makes any sense. But
Yeah, it's satiating.
yeah, whoever edited it did a really great job. But the next scene is Cassian on that one planet where he was walking with the creepy dogs, but now it's like a mess. A lot of people are guessing that this is the Gorman massacre.
I think that that's a really good guess. And I'm sad to say that, yeah, we're probably going to see that.
Yeah. And what you also get a really clear shot of his dad's blaster and how it's in the rifle configuration.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, which is so cool. Which that gun also doesn't even have plot armor. Just
Since we're gonna
insane.
lose it.
I know. Well, there's the shot with Melshi. He's using it. Melshi's using Cassian's gun.
Oh, hell yeah.
But before we jump to Melshi, the next shot after that, the 49-second mark, it's Kleya and Cassian. And see, I'm confident Luthen is going to die. And I feel like this scene kind of confirmed that for me. Because A, it's raining. B, they're on Coruscant. And it's like the typical, the dad left his two kids behind to pick up all the pieces. Somebody called them the son and the daughter of the like very early rebellion, and I was like, why must you hurt me in this way? But I do wonder if Kleya obviously has a very close relationship to Luthen. Does Cassian also kind of formulate that with him? And I don't know.
Yeah, like have a stronger bond that's similar to the bond that Clea forms. I think that that might be the case.
Because she was so protective over him in season one.
Yeah. And, you know, I could see her, we don't know what the specifics are, but how charged this moment was in the trailer of her grabbing Cassian. She could be really upset with him because maybe he was there when Luthen died, or who knows?
Her ears are down. Her cat ears aren't down. But I'll let you say the next clip. I don't think I have the strength to say.
Oh, so the next clip is back to Gonji Moon, and we've got Brasso throwing his whole self into two stormtroopers, and they are barely holding him back. He's so big. Yeah, he's looking pretty focused on something in the distance, and I can only assume it's whatever's happening to probably Willman or even Bix, because there is another shot of Bix probably in one of these buildings. It looks like
Getting
Rosso is
her
out
hair
there.
pulled. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like
Basically, get
Rosso
behind
is
me. Sorry.
it looks like Rosso was out working near these agricultural buildings, and they probably jumped him out there, and he can't come and help
His
Bix
kids.
and Wilman. Yeah, his family, which is so like, and there's like a stormtrooper behind him with his rifle raised.
Put it down. Put it
We
down.
rebuke this. We rebuke
Yeah.
this in the name of Jesus. All enemies against Brazos shall not prosper.
Also, those look like the Star Wars version of a silo behind him.
I'm sure this is like
Yeah.
a grain
The
being
people in the
situation.
name
It
of
looks
Jesus.
like we were like, yeah, there's wheat behind him. We're just doing everything to not focus on the fact that like
We're corn plating.
Brasso's in mortal, Brasso's in mortal danger right now. So, I'm sweating just thinking about it. I'm getting itchy. I'm
Same.
upset. We should move on. We should move on.
We should.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to corn play further the next clip with all of these troopers walking in together. The dude in the middle has like the most insane handlebar mustache I've ever seen. I don't know if you can see it.
Okay, I can, and I like, is this, part of me's like, oh, it looks like some sort of trooper special forces or whatever, but I'm also getting like the vibes of like Bill Burr's character from The Mandalorian, like stealing, armor and uniforms and, sneaking into the Imperial base. So I'm like, yeah, this could totally be an Imperial unit, but it could also be a bunch of rebels, putting on a bunch of gear and infiltrate that way. So honestly, I can't tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if this was like Imperial, like stormtroopers, let me just preface, I don't know all the different ranks and
That's okay.
Special forces of the Imperials, but like I would have assumed that they'd be wearing helmets or something if they're going to have the rest of their bodies armored up. It just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like an unmasking slash unhelmeting.
But like,
Yeah.
yeah, like, are they the other thing I can think of is that these are ISB agents who are going in, because like the guy in the back specifically has that Imperial cap, and he's just wearing chest armor and shoulder armor, and he's got something in his hand that doesn't look, I don't think it's a weapon. So I could see them infiltrating for intel reasons,
Yeah.
and so they go in armored up. Yeah, this could be an Imperial Security Bureau operation.
Agent P.
Well, and also because the next shot is Dedra looking very stressed out.
She was crashing out.
She is not doing hot. She looks like she's barely holding herself together. She's like, yeah, not doing so hot. I really think, like, I mean, corn plating again here, but like having those guys, the shot of those guys, and then Dedra, and then right after Dedra, we've got Mr. We got this big jerk here, Krennic, right after her. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's supposed to be telling us something.
Yeah, I don't know either. She's so me in any situation where something very minuscule happens to me that, but this next shot after that is Krennic looking smug as hell, and then Mon, and then that looks like the Delvo in the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I
then
think it is.
it's the ISB agent all the way in the back.
Wait.
From the
Because,
season one, it's the
yes.
IMB agent.
And to further this,
More corn plating.
no, with justification. Okay, with photographic evidence. Okay, Delvo is in the scene, the dance scene. He's in it. He's in the zoom out scene where they're all like raising their arms in the air. He is there doing the same thing. So I do think this is the wedding. I think
Okay.
Krennic was invited to Mon Mothma's daughter's wedding. I think
That's
he's at the
crazy.
wedding.
That's crazy. Also, Ben Mendelsohn actually has a face card for days.
He's so he's so well suited to this. He's like eyebrow raise at her.
I
He's like,
know. I was just about to
and then
say
he's
the
like
eyebrow raise.
smiling. What a little sneaky weasel.
Devo. Diva. Devo.
Devo.
Okay. We're back to the tie. Is it Interceptor? Tie Interceptor?
I don't know my ties well enough, but
Okay.
it's
I think it's an Interceptor, but the where it's kind of blowing up the hangar. Part of me is like, is it
a
Cassian? But when we saw the like stuff of him in the jumpsuit, he's with other people. So I wonder if this was like a group heist.
yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Okay. We got more stormtroopers, because what would this show be without? I'm just kidding.
Wait, so wait.
Okay,
We've got
salsa them.
wait, so we had the We got Mon Mothma dancing her heart out. Love that. Delvo is back there in the background on that one. I'm pretty sure I see him. Lita is up there next to Mon. And then we've got, okay, I wanted to say this. The shot of where it looks like you're like POV, you're an X-wing, and you're about to jump into hyperspace. That shot,
Yeah.
it really put me in the mind of Star Wars Rebels, like how some of the shots are done in Star Wars
Yeah.
Rebels. I was like, oh, love that.
Well,
And
I mean,
then
it wouldn't be a big surprise if they took some inspiration from that show. Like, even if Gungi Moon is Gungi Moon and not Lethal, like it would be really cool if like that was an inspiration for it. I'm saying something.
And then right after that, actually, I'm going to take back my thoughts about Krennic being at the wedding. I think he's maybe not at the wedding. I think he was at whatever this fancy Coruscant party is going on here. But oof, look at her dress. It's gorgeous. Anyway.
Very folklore-esque, very Florence and the Machine. Also,
Okay, go ahead.
not to interrupt, but I think it would be cool. I mean, not cool because it's sad to think about this, but I don't think Lita's wedding will be as happy as like it's making it out to be in the trailer. Like it, I think that it is Krennic there because the dad of the husband is there. Delvo, crazy name. And then maybe Cassian comes because there's so many clips where like these scenes kind of coincide where it like looks like the setting looks very similar. So part of me is wondering if maybe the wedding is one of the first scenes, like one of in the first arcs, but I don't know. To each their own, I guess, but that would be a really fascinating theory.
I think there's a good chance of that being true.
Yeah. Little Mon and Cassian action, and then
That'd be amazing.
it would, and then there's the scene of Bix and Cassian reuniting, which is a really sweet hug. He looks so relieved to see her. Then there's that mining machine that we were talking about earlier on Ferris
Yeah.
looking planet, and then there's our boy Cyril.
Oh, he's looking like he's seen something or is, yeah, he's looking pretty disturbed. He's
Like
wearing the famous his famous tie.
the weight of corporate life has weighed on him. That's what he looks like.
But before we move any further, we did skip something very important. We got a shot of a droid that we've been looking for.
Oh, did I miss it? I might have gone too quick.
It was like a blink and you miss it.
Yeah, it was, 'cause he's too much of a diva. K2. K2SO is coming back, but we all knew that. It was just cool to see him in the flesh.
Yeah, like this is actually him.
It's like that's our guy.
Oh.
Green pajamas and all.
They really like did us dirty not having us hear his voice, but then also like I'm glad we didn't because it will make it more special when we like actually do get to hear him for the first time in the show.
Yeah, it's really great. That's what I mean earlier when I said that it's giving us just enough, but also not enough where we're still anticipating. But more shots of that riot scene, and then we get the guy. We get the guy Evan.
Our boy.
We do. We get Melshi, and he's bald. He's like, ha, BTW, here's my scalp.
He's looking very much how he looked like in Rogue One, so
Yeah.
we're moving towards that. He's got like a little earpiece too. He's wearing like a little earpiece, so someone's probably like chatting at him, like, "Hey, are you okay?"
He's like, he's talking to Cassian. He's like, "Hey, bestie, a lot is going on. I'm in the same situation as I will be in the next couple of years, but this time I won't die." This next scene with the lady wielding the gun, I feel like this is also the wedding.
Yeah,
Or
the
somewhere.
wedding. Yeah, it looks like, honestly, I almost feel like this could be the Senate building
It's the
because
rehearsal dinner.
if you slow this down enough, you can see Mon Mothma right here. It looks like Mon Mothma in the corner with her like senatorial blue jacket and her hair kind of in that like style that she wears it in when we've seen her there before. I
Yeah.
think it is her. And then there's a woman in the red, and she l looks like she's holding what looks like a recorder, like she's an interviewer.
Oh,
So it
yeah.
would be interesting if this is like a confrontation in the Senate building. I feel like that might be a good guess.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I'm sure this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I thought it was really interesting. The restaurant has like spider iconography everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really, I hate spiders, so that's why it stuck out to me, of course, but it's like literally everywhere. Like mosaics of spiders. And then this part like really spoke out to me. The hall, it's like earlier, blink and you miss it, the hallway with like this, I don't want to say seismic boom, but like the,
It does look like that, yeah. It's
yeah,
like a
it,
flashbang when I slow down really. Frame by frame, it really looks like it's Cassian on the right. Like he's got long hair, and it's harder to tell with the second figure if they're like who they are, but I think it might be even, it could be Bix. I can go frame by frame, and one of the guns that's dropped looks like Cassian's gun, actually. It just has the same exact shape. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was like Cassian and Bix breaking in, but I don't know.
Yeah. The next couple shots toward the end of the trailer look like some characters revisiting ones like Cyril's mother, this new character that we've seen, another background character. Ones that I feel like we can't even theorize things about yet because there's just like not enough information to, but the costuming looks really
Yeah.
great. And then the trailer kind of starts to close out with Saw Gerrera and who I think, and what I think a lot of people think is Willman with the mask on. So
Yeah.
Willman's gonna kind of like follow in Cassian's footsteps in a way and like join the rebels, Saw Gerrera's rebels. Then we get the Cassian smirk that was
Yeah.
in a vault for a couple of years.
I know when you told me about that originally, because you got to see it at Celebration, I was like, "What?"
I know. I was hoping that maybe that would release sooner, but I'm so glad it released when it did. It's such a great shot, and I love the like transition look in his face. He's a really good actor with his eyes. So, anything
Yeah,
else?
we see him become like the person, the the actor that Cassian becomes, basically.
Yeah, because we know that man has never really smiled ever a day in his life for realsies. But just kidding. Hopefully, somebody made him smile along the lines. But anything else you want to corn plate before we wrap up this episode of our Andor season 2 trailer review?
Not about the trailer in particular, I don't think. You can definitely hear us, or sorry, read, see us break down the trailer and things about Andor a lot more on our social media. So if there's anything that we missed, we'll definitely, like, come up with a thought in the middle of the night and, post it. So you
Pretty
could
relevant.
follow along with our delusions there. Do you have anything else about the trailer? Because I have one more thing to say, but it's not about the trailer.
No, I don't think so. I think I said everything either on here or online, but hit me.
I was gonna and remind the audience that Reign of the Empire, The Mask of Fear by Alexander Freed. So by the time this is released, it will be out. And it is an incredible book. And I feel like there's a full course meal on every page. Like every
Yeah.
page, I'm like, I have to slow myself down and be like absorbing it into my retinas and then like into my brain matter. And then I have to like sit on it for a second and digest it. And yeah, it's amazing. If you don't know, it follows the perspectives of several different characters who are key in the rebellion. So definitely pick it up and read it. It's specifically tailored for Andor girlies. Okay, so read
Yeah,
it.
read it. Excellent book, and we're really excited to have it. And keep us satiated until April 22nd. So, well, if that's all that we have, then we'll see you next time for another episode of Stardust Records. But until then, where can we find you, Lindsay?
You can find me at A Cosmic Love on Twitter and at Rebel Risen on Instagram. And I'm pretty sure I'm on Blue Sky. I am on Blue Sky. Let me just say, I know that for certain. At A Cosmic Love on Blue Sky as well. So at A Cosmic Love on Twitter and Blue Sky and at Rebel Risen on Instagram. And where can we find you?
You can find me at Andorisms on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and podcast at Stardust Records, so Stardust Records, but without the O, on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, we'll see you next time for another episode, hopefully covering more Andor. And if not, then we'll be covering Mask of Fear by Alexander Freed. So. Signing off.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.